Welcome to yet another episode of Full Stack HR, the podcast. And with me today, I have Sampo and Laura from MinaLearn. And I'm so happy to have them both on the show, because if you haven't heard about MinaLearn, you might have heard about Elements of AI, the fantastic course that is readily available for, I don't know how many people have taken the course, but a lot of people, including me, have taken the course. I'm so keen on hearing more about their thinking behind the course, and also just in general, how they see this landscape of AI now playing out. So I say welcome, Sampo and Laura. Could you start by introducing yourself to the audience?
Yes. Thank you so much for having us, Johannes. I'm Sampo from MinaLearn, and I've been at MinaLearn for a couple of years now, working on our learning method. And my background is in entrepreneurship, so I've been in multiple different scenes, worn many different hats. First in advertising, and then in learning game development. I had another learning startup building a peer-to-peer learning gig platform, and then I got to MinaLearn. So a lot of stuff around work-life learning. That seems to be, strangely, even though I'm entrepreneurial, I'm super interested in helping people learn. So that's who I am. Love to be here in your podcast.
Hi, nice to be here. My name is Laura, also from MinaLearn. I've been part of the team for a bit over a year now. And my background lies pretty much in, firstly, in communication. So I've worked in different agencies, but then dived into the world of startup entrepreneurship when I worked at a big Nordic conference or community called Slush. And after that, it was pretty much no returning back to the more traditional workplaces. It's actually my first time working in the field of edtech. And I'm working with the Elements of AI online course on a daily basis as a project manager or product owner, or depending on the way you want to see it. So I'm very keen on the impact or the mission of the course, which is to teach the basics of AI to anyone and everyone. And regarding the number of students, it's over a million people who've enrolled on the course. So we're talking about a pretty massive international movement, which Elements of AI, in essence, is.
Fantastic. That is an insane number, 1 million students. But if we scroll back a bit then, MinaLearn, could you tell the listeners as well about how did you come up with the idea for MinaLearn?
So we've already heard of Elements of AI, and we built Elements of AI when we were still part of this big Finnish tech consultancy. So it was a product that was born under that consultancy, built together with the University of Helsinki. And it grew big, so we thought maybe there's more to do in the world of learning, and building learning products is not the same as running a tech consultancy. So it was time to spin out. About, I think, a year ago, we spun out of that consultancy. It's called Reactor, and we've been working on learning solutions since then. And basically, you might know us from a lot of self-study courses, but then the startup's main focus is helping people learn at work. So we're trying to see, what are the issues? Why are people not engaged in learning? Maybe even if you have the most amazing online material, it doesn't always mean that people will just devour it. So the main premise is, okay, we have great material, but how do we make people engaged? And then also, how do you make the learning stick? So will something actually change if someone does a learning program or reads a course? So we're really focused on making stuff that makes a change in people. And that's what we see in our clients too. A lot of HR people are saying, we have this LMS, we have this content, that thing's happening. But the change is what, like, who's providing that we promise that we are going to change stuff? That's what we try to do.
And so it's a fairly new company then? Or like, how long have you been around?
Laura, you might know better, like, how long Elements of AI has been around. So the team has been around for a while, but maybe Laura, do you remember how long has Elements of AI been around?
Yeah, the MinaLearn, the company, I think, was founded in May 2022, which was the point when it spun out of Reactor. But Elements of AI, which started as a marketing campaign rather than anything else, I think was launched in late 2018 or early 2019, if I remember correctly.
People in that team, like our CEO Ville, has been like part of that project from the beginning, so it's been like a long legacy of getting to this point, and lots of lessons learned from like making a massively online course to also looking at those statistics and see what can you still improve in this, because even though it's very popular, when you go back to really learning, you can see that, okay, you can get lots of attendees and lots of students, but how can you make it even better? Yeah. So that's where it spun out. The premise when we spun out was to think, how can we improve workplace learning? And how can we make something, if we can make very good content with experts, how can we make sure the delivery and the learning method is also top notch?
But if it's a marketing campaign, it has to be one of the most successful marketing campaigns ever launched with 1 million students. But do you have any ideas or maybe perhaps even insights to why has it been so successful? Because 1 million students, that is, it's mind-blowing, but also amazing.
Yeah, there were some marketing masterminds definitely working on this project back in the day at Reactor. The whole thing started when the University of Helsinki, and especially like the teacher who's also the leading instructor of the course, Teemu Roos, was in need of some kind of introductory course of AI for his own first year students at the computer science department. He knew people from Reactor from before, and then they somehow got into discussion of, hey, what about we did this together? Because Reactor knows how to build engaging content and make user flows and user experiences great on digital platforms. And so Reactor thought, hey, what about we do this sort of pure stunt where we set out to create the AI course and aim to educate 1% of the Finnish population into the basics of it. It's co-written by University of Helsinki and Reactor. And yeah, I think the secret sauce lies in how well it is designed, how approachable it is really to anyone. Starting from just the designs, it has nice colors, nice illustrations. It has nothing to do with those dark blue laser light robot heads that you only get when you Google AI. It's nice and it's inclusive, not too stereotypical to any direction. And there was an infinite budget, which made it possible to edit it forever to make the content sound like it's understandable to anyone. So we really, if you were a 6-year-old high school student or a dentist or hairdresser or someone working in the IT already, everyone felt like they got something out of it. And somehow they managed to make it viral. So I remember when the course was launched and all my friends were doing it. Everyone was taking Elements of AI, and I thought, oh no, I'm gonna have to enroll as well. Otherwise, I'm gonna miss this wave. And there was also a big graduation ceremony with even the president of Finland present there for the first 1,000 graduates. And yeah, the president himself also did the course. So I think it was just, it started from the accessible design. And then marvelous thinking around how do we make this viral in several ways.
I think even though it was a marketing idea at first, to become successful, it had to be a very good course that is approachable by many. Because a lot of topics like AI or something technical or even something like we're doing now, like human skills, is actually very difficult and has lots of complex terms and all kinds of stuff happening. And I think the true genius is trying to make experiences that don't fool around with making it seem like rocket science. I think most things can be explained in a nice way, dropping all crazy acronyms. And like when I think of my children too, it's I could explain many things to them in a way that is accessible and you don't have to dumb down the content. And if someone is a real expert like Teemu Roos is, there's a real talent to think, I know so much about this. I've seen this building learning content before too. It's you have the expert that knows so much, but who is the filter that makes sure that the expert information is filtered so that everyone can understand? And not every professor is great at that. Not every company is great at that. And certainly not all workplace material is built like that. So I think one of the successes is that it doesn't trivialize anything. It doesn't dumb it down. But it does make it accessible and shows in our user statistics too. We have lots of people that you might not stereotypically think wouldn't take an AI course. People that are older, a huge amount of women take it, which also is stereotypical in the tech field that it would be only the tech bros like doing this course. And it's not. And it just shows because it's written and designed in a way, like as silly as it sounds like about illustrations being accessible and this kind of stuff. But it does matter, like when all of those parts come together.
And I think that matters a lot. How you present and how you just outline the course, that is also important when educating people. And I think you made the understatement of the year that the learning material in organizations is not is perhaps not accessible, or what is that? Like, it's a bit ironic how bad we, if I look, say we as HR, we present materials in most cases. I would say that it's rare that you have this accessibility and that you think about the learner in that case, like how should we transfer knowledge, because that is essentially what it's about, to the learner. And how do we make them adopt that? But do you have any tips in regards to this? You built this course, 1 million users. You also do, I know that you do a lot of other stuff at MinaLearn. If you have advices for people like me who sits in an HR department and we try to build our best to build accessible courses, do you see any key factors that we can borrow or steal with pride from you?
I know from our clients too, who usually work in HR, they're very busy. And I'll know sometimes their job might be to like get different service providers to say build some content for their learning platform. You should ask yourself, is the goal of that project to tick a box to say now that content is in our library? That's not when the learning has happened yet. And usually LMS means that, hey, we've put a lot of time and effort and money to build this bank that is our learning library. But then the focus is just building that library, not building learning. So this sounds a bit high end, but I'm constantly thinking, how can we only think about the learning? Yeah, a company might have the need to have a way to spread content to thousands of people. So you have to have some method that is scalable. But then sometimes being participant led and where a learner is themselves active doesn't work in a scalable way like that. So in our method, when we work with companies, we combine the self-study with the scalable materials that are really good. But then we've learned that by breaking the groups down into smaller learning groups and having those groups interact socially with each other, have discussions, sharing insights about the content, is almost like the idea of like Finnish school method. So that you don't just learn alone, like I send Johannes a link, go do this, and then I look at a dashboard and see, did Johannes do it? That seems to be the solution sometimes, but it takes a lot of effort. And what we're building is, how do you run these kind of learning cohorts and programs without the trouble? Because that, of course, running a learning program requires a lot of steps and a lot of doing stuff. And we call this kind of learning facilitation. So that we basically offer kits to use our method and our programs for facilitators in companies to run our course materials together with discussions and workshops. And that seems to bring like lots of very good results. So people are they're connecting the reading material back to their work because they have to workshop on something. We usually ask them to prototype something, an experiment that has to do with the materials. And when the groups promise each other socially that, hey, Johannes, I'm going to prototype this AI thing and see you in the next meeting, it seems to just these little social promises create a lot of engagement. And we're trying to make all the possible tools to make this happen without having to manage it all. So I guess the tip is, yes, use scalable materials, but then think, am I really measuring the learning and building learning material or just putting one more book into our shelf? And then number two, is there something where you can listen to every individual and make sure that their needs and goals are met? But that you can do in cohorts, because when everyone starts a cohort, you ask, what do you want to, Johannes, do in this program? And that's a bit different than me just sending you a link. So I think maybe even scaling back this idea of just send everyone the material and get a checklist that they did it. I don't think you can solve learning like that. On the long term, it'll cause people to have a poor learning culture and they'll be upset that always HR is sending us this material and it demeans us or it's not up to our standard. And it's a slippery road. Like if you play that long enough, you might have to do a bigger transformation process to make people believe that we at HR want to make really good experiences for you. We see from some of our clients that they already think, oh, whatever we send, that the people are already like upset. They don't want to look at what HR is sending. a long answer, but many bits in there.
A super, super good answer as well. And an answer where I think most of us can relate somewhere or another, but also try to adopt. But you alluded to a bit there that you have toolkits that you send out to companies as well. And I know that you're working on or that have launched elements of AI for businesses as well. Could you talk a bit about that? Because I think one of the problems or perhaps potential problems that I've at least heard people, because I've been advocating for people to take the elements of AI course for even before ChatGPT was the talk of the town, I talked about elements of AI as a very good way to start your learning journey around AI. But I also know that people sometimes at least struggle with taking the time and setting aside the time to actually do the course, even though it's good. And obviously you have 1 million users to prove that people do it, but still, I know a lot of people who struggles a bit, but just especially the time components. So setting aside time and then do it. But can you speak to that elements of AI for business course, the thinking behind it and what you're aiming to solve with that as well?
In a nutshell, we've noticed a huge need. This usually comes from above HR, that someone in the board says that, hey, now the people in the company really need to figure out how to use these tools. How is it going to transform our industry? If we don't learn this, we might get screwed. But then how do we do it? Is it just for the tech people, or who has to learn about this? So we knew that there's going to be a need for this. We started working on this maybe half a year ago before our summer breaks. And the idea was that, can we create a program, take the best chapters of Elements of AI and create a 4-week program where people study the fundamentals, get to share with their work group, like, this is how it affects our industry. This is how we envision things are going to change. You can maybe dismiss, or not dismiss, but you'll get to discuss some of people's fears about it too. Will this change my work a lot? Will it take my work? A lot of this discussion can happen during that program. So there's 3 meetings for these discussions and workshopping. Plus, let's see, there's 1, 2, 3, 4 chapters of study and then an experiment that you do at work. So like I said, defining a landscape where the group is, and then also workshopping a hypothesis of how could maybe their customer problems be solved with AI, either trends or tools. And this prototyping doesn't require technical people. It can also be someone from HR can take it, or someone from marketing or sales, or so it could be all kinds of prototypes. And we've seen those kind of stuff happen. But the main point is we ask people to make the smallest possible step to try something concrete. Because we've run these programs with Laura, and people on there are like, I've heard of this, or I made a funny poem in ChatGPT, but that's not solving a business problem. And then they come onto the course, they do the program with us, and then they're like, okay, I'll figure out what the business case for this is. How can it maybe improve my workflow? Could it be something more strategic than just my workflow? So it's basically like designing a program around the good content and putting it into the context of work. And we do this as a full service thing where we let companies take these programs in cohorts, and we sell it, and then we produce it. But then we also offer kits. So everything that we use in the program, we license to internal facilitators. So if an organization has internal coaches, trainers, facilitators, or someone that's just super excited about AI and wants to train it forward, as long as that person knows a bit about making a workshop, they should be able to use our kit. If they have never run a workshop, it might be a bit to bite off because the workshops are just super simple. But if you have run a workshop, you should be able to run our program because the content knowledge is in the materials. So you don't have to be an AI expert to be a good facilitator for the learning. So those are the 2 models, like full service like that, or then having people use the kit and then basically just licensing from us.
And we'll make sure to include a link where people can know more about this as well in the show notes if they want to learn more about the elements of AI for businesses as well. But if we start to round things up here, where do you think that the AI world is heading? That's potentially a very long and broad question, but I would be curious to get your opinion since you're deeply enrooted and embedded in this community of AI. Ooh. And AI learning.
Yeah. It's a big question. Yeah, hard to predict the future. I guess one thing that's for sure is that AI is not going anywhere. It's here to stay. It's going to be part of everyone's life, everyone's work in one way or the other. And even though, for example, Elements of AI is already 5 years old or something, the contents, they don't get old. So it's never too late to study the very basics. What does ChatGPT really mean? What happens under the hood? And start from the beginning so that you can build on top of your understanding so that you don't accidentally just think like AI is the same as ChatGPT, which is a tool that creates poems for you. It's much more than that. We usually say that AI is like the new electricity. It powers pretty much everything we use, the tools and services we use in our everyday lives. We hope that more people get the understanding to be part of that change and not just be passengers, but also riders, and are not afraid.
It reminds me of when I was a kid and the internet came, and I was so excited and transformed by the idea that I can publish something and it's available to everyone. And if a company makes something, I can have the same kind of accessibility. And in the end, the internet has transformed our society completely in ways that we couldn't have predicted. And it started with people being like, oh, no one's going to watch a video that's like all a post stamp on a page that looks horrible. Or who's going to trust to put their credit card on a website or buy something? Or even stuff like, why are we so affected by people so far away from us just by reading something on social media? It's transformed how we're basically, even though we're not living in the cyber world all the time, our brains are. We're thinking that stuff that's happening in the cyber world is affecting us. So I'm thinking more, I think we're in a stage again where AI is a really big, big thing that's happening. And I don't think people understand yet how big it is. And it's hard to also predict how it will change our society. But I think it'll change our society a lot. I'm excited about it in a way that I think it brings things to be accessible. But of course, it feels very accessible for me because I also have a tech background. And even though it means that I can talk about tech in a natural language with the large language model, but a person that doesn't even know that you could ask those questions won't use the accessibility. So it's the same as if Alta Vista and Google came and now I can tell you, you can search anything on the internet, but you wouldn't even be interested in doing that if you didn't have that mindset of, wow, like this means that all the data that was in the library is now accessible through Google. Or the same is happening with AI. People underestimate it and then they think it's only this or only that. And it's a shame because the tools are so accessible and they're meant so that the interface is humanistic. But people don't understand that someone that doesn't code could start coding together with an AI, or someone that has never done a marketing campaign could do it pairing together with an AI agent. But I don't think people yet have the imagination and they're a bit scared about it. So I don't know. I hope for huge things. I think it'll transform a lot of stuff. I hope people don't forget to get on the bus. I hope everyone gets on the bus and sees it as a positive thing and figure out how to use this as a tool. If you don't use it as a tool, then you might end up being left out in a way. Like it's hard to compete with someone that uses all these tools because you can just get so much done and you can get such deeper stuff out of it.
I think the bus analogy and also the electricity analogies are good ones. I don't think that you have to become like a deep technical expert in coding all these models, but you have to have at least a fundamental understanding of, okay, how does these models work? Because they will impact you one way or another, whether you like it or not. And you're already impacted by them. Like most of us use tools that are AI led one way or another. If you use Google Maps, yeah, that is AI in one way or another. And if you listen to Spotify this morning, yeah, there you have it again. It's AI. So it's embedded in products that we already use. And I think people underestimate that because right now the hype is about ChatGPT and the large language models. But that is only, as you say, that's one part. It's not the full AI suite is not ChatGPT. There's more to it. And to getting that basic understanding, I think it's super important. Like now we've been talking about work, but I can also see this impact or society and democracies and what, and to not have that understanding of the electricity or not getting on the bus, I think that is, yeah, we need to get people on the bus. And that is also why I think that what you're doing here with Elements of AI is fantastic. So I'm very happy to have had you on the podcast. And if people want to keep in touch with you, how do they keep in touch with you?
You should go to minnalearn.com. You can always find us from there. For Elements of AI for Business, We've been hosting these info sessions online. So one way is to connect with us on LinkedIn and you'll see us post and you can basically come meet me again and people join that and come hear out, could this be a solution for their company? That's one way to do it. If you're a people person, want to join that kind of thing, or just going to our website and contacting us, that's one way to go.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for being on the podcast and I look forward to see what you will cook up in the future as well.
About cooking, important last ad, we have just launched two new courses on trustworthy AI, which are all about the ethics and privacy, resilience, bias type of issues, which are now, I think, coming the next crucial thing. So
that is fantastic. Those are highly needed. Thank you. That was a fantastic addition. Thank you so much. And I'll see you on the internet then.
Thank you.
Exactly. See you there. Thanks a lot.